Greetings, Liddell. This is Bob Riles, host to the Grace Radio series Voices. Recently, the Kingdom of God lost a mighty warrior and a great leader. Dr. Mallory Callahan, pastor of the greatest Starlight Baptist Church in Covington, passed away. We're rerunning an interview with Dr. Callahan in his honor. Hope you enjoy it.
You know, with all of the difficulties that we've been seeing in the news and some of it in our communities, I thought it would just be a great idea for you and I to be able to dialogue a little bit and talk about the role of the church, the role of the kingdom of God, the role of God's people in looking forward to the future. We have things to deal with. We know we have issues. We want to do those in a way that is honoring to God and honoring to our fellow man. And I was hoping that today maybe you and I could bring some fresh things to our listening audience here in Slidell.
We've always had issues and things that we are concerned about in our communities. But as I said to a group yesterday, you know, the Bible says that we are the salt of the earth. Jesus said we are light. And I see a lot of things that are going on as darkness because, you know, evil is always depicted by darkness.
Yes, it is.
And I said to them, what a wonderful time to be a light, to be able, we are the church, the body of Christ. We're in a position to make a difference. The problem could be, and I'm not saying it is that sometimes we have a tendency to lose our saving power, okay, our ability to do it, or our willingness. We have the ability because, you know, we have to, it's really not us, it's the Holy Spirit anyway who empowers us and gives us the ability to do what God wants us to do. But we have to have the will to do it. And we have to get out of our church walls, the confinements of our church walls, and we have to go out there and meet people where they are. We have to try to understand where people are. Understanding doesn't necessarily mean I agree with maybe what they're doing,
sure,
or what they're engaging in, but I have to at least try to understand and have to win their confidence. You know, in order to really reach people in any level, in any situation, they have to trust you. And we as believers, we have to be out there letting people know you can trust us, that we're genuine in our love for God, and there's no way for us. You know, God kind of fixed it. He said, how can you say you love me whom you've never seen and hate your brother that you see every day? And so he kind of fixes it so that we can't just, you know, be crazy about him and not care about one another. And he says that, you know, we really serve him by serving one another. And so I think that, of course, there has to be a lot of prayer before we do anything. We need to pray about it and we need to go out there and pray with those people. People are hurting for a lot of reasons. Not just the current events. People are hurting. Unemployment, don't have enough money to do what they need to do. Economic situations are bad. Health care, there are a lot of things that people are hurting from. And I think we have to go out there and offer hope.
Yes.
Because I think I hear people, you know, when there's a hurricane or a disaster, people say, oh, I lost everything. And I always say, no, you didn't lose everything. You lost material stuff. When you've lost everything, you've lost hope. And as long as you have hope, you can start over again. You can use that hope for your foundation to rebuild. And so I think we have to go out there. And I think a lot of people don't really believe that. And we have to first convince them that, yeah, there's a better way to do this. There's a better life. There's a better road to travel. And we can't be ashamed to say that, you know, you got to have a relationship with God. I hear a lot of people use the term person of faith. I don't always know exactly what that means.
Yes.
Okay, I want to think positive about that. But we want to make sure that we're dealing with people who love God and who put what God wants first, who believes in the word of God as it is, and not try to alter it for one group or change it for another group. Because the truth will set you free. And that truth, when you read that, it's the word of God that sets us free.
Amen. Well, the Word of God is really the guide. Unfortunately, we take so much from the media, from the TV, trying to tell us how we're supposed to respond and to react to things. But, you know, the Word of God and following the leadership of a pastor who understands the Word of God and can help us to interpret it in our daily life is really key to being faithful servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, as you've already said, getting Christ out of the church and into the community in practical and reasonable ways is really the work of the church. The inside the church trains us, it equips us, but it doesn't train us into equipments to sing songs to each other in church.
Right.
It trains us in equipments to get out and doing it. And I know you've seen a lot of those things. That I don't want to call them programs, because a program is something intellectual by the mind of man. I think it's works of the heart. You've seen a lot of works of the heart here in your community. And maybe you could talk to us a little bit about how those things help us to work together.
Well, for example, most of the people are familiar with the flood in March. And it was through collaboration. It was actually through the guys who we work with through the chaplain ministry with the coroners and Slidell Minister Association that people made contacts. We were able to get supplies from groups that normally we didn't even know to contact.
Right.
Of course, we have a relationship with the American Red Cross. But one of the things that disasters do, it kind of breaks down all those walls that we sometimes allow to be erected between us. For a little while, for a few weeks, we were passing out food in boxes that said Church of Latter-day Saints. People who were hungry didn't care which church the food was coming from.
That's right.
Community Christian Concern from Slidell brought us personal care items, and we worked with the American Red Cross, and then we had other groups, the Baptist State Convention, and we had groups from out of state come in and help people cut out sheetrock and repair their homes. We had some groups that went out, the Seventh-day Adventist Church went out and fed people on Wednesdays and other groups. And I think sometimes God allows us to experience those things to take us out of what I call our comfort zone and to see that when it all boils down, those of us who are believers, we have more in common than we do differences, because a lot of our differences has to do with how we practice, how we sing, what our rules and regulations. And I tell people all the time, we can't put our rules for our church ahead of God's rules. And as
That's
you said
right.
earlier, we have to go by the Bible. What does the Word of God say?
Right.
You know, even when Satan tempted Jesus, uh-huh. Jesus just stuck to the Word. He said, it's written. He just kept saying it's written. I remember seeing Dr. Billy Graham in an interview one time, and they were asking him some questions about a lot of different subjects. And one of the things that I noticed, every answer was preference with the Bible says. This is what the Bible says about
Amen.
This. And I don't think we need to be ashamed. We know that the Bible has the answer. We know that relationship with God makes a difference in people's lives. And we just have to work together to get that word out to people and to give people hope, help people dream again, help people realize that they do count, that they are important, that they're not measured by their bank accounts or where they live. That's not how God measures us. I always say God puts the measuring tape around our hearts.
Amen.
And that's what lets him know how big a man or woman we are.
Amen. Well, God has given us so much. I guess like many people in the listening audience, we were not born saved. And there was a period of time that I lived my life not for Christ. And having lived on both sides of the track, so to speak, I've got nothing to go back to.
Right.
Jesus has given us such a fulfilling and a complete life and opportunities to do things way beyond our abilities by the power of the Holy Spirit, that there's nothing to go back to. Life is ahead. Life is hope in Jesus Christ and all that that he brings to us and to our table. And in serving each other, being a part of each other's life, as my brother says, doing life together,
right,
really causes the best of Christ to come out in each one of us.
Well, you hit on something that's important. People have to understand the difference between religion and relationship. I grew up in a Christian home. Both of my parents were active in the church. I always say I was forced to have religion because it was a rule in my dad's house that you had to go to church every Sunday. But I always say I'm glad that my parents kept me in the church until the church got in me. Now, it didn't keep me from leaving those teachings. I ended up loving music. I ended up singing with a band. Nightclubs all over the place, Mississippi Gulf Coast, in nightclubs, doing proms and dances and wedding receptions, and ended up wanted to be in radio and television, and ended up doing that. But I saw both sides of that. I went to parties that were sponsored by the big record companies, and the drugs would be there and the alcohol would be there because they wanted you to play their music. And so, like you, I've lived on both sides. But, you know, when we think about it, we all have. because the Bible says we're born in sin. So what you did out there might have been different than what I did, but just being born, we're not born saved. But, you know, I think it shows God's mercy and grace. And I tell people all the time, I'm not always proud of my past, but my past is a testimony to the redemptive power of Christ.
Amen.
And it
Amen.
Says to the world. And, you know, I'm in a unique situation here at this church because I grew up here. I pastored my high school principal. I pastored teachers who taught me. One of my business teachers is still a member of our church. I pastored my mother and father and sisters and brothers. Three of the guys who play in our church band played in the band with me in the world. People know me here, and they had a chance to watch God work in my life. They Amen. Know what I used to be. I'm not perfect now, but I'm saved. And there's a difference because when His presence is within you and you feel with His Spirit, you just can't be the same. And I'm like you. I see nothing. I have no regrets about serving Him. You know, I started pastoring when I was 21 years old, and I had guys say, "Man, I feel sorry for you. You're not going to be able to have any more fun." And I said, "Well, you know, happiness is predicated on what's happening. You can have joy regardless of the circumstances. And I would rather have joy than to have fun and happiness." So I don't have and I understand though why they can't see it, because they're still operating where I used to be, and they don't you know, when you're in darkness, it's hard to realize how much better a life lived for Christ and in Christ can be. And then once you understand it, you can start to be that salt and that light. You can start to have compassion. That's what Jesus did. He didn't agree with what the woman was doing at the well, but he had compassion on
her.
Yes,
he did.
And he said, "Look, I want to give you some better water than what you got to come get this water every day." He yes. said, "But I'm going to give you the opportunity to become a well." She didn't understand that. I probably wouldn't have understood it either. He said, "If you drink this water, you're going to become a well of living water." I wouldn't have been able to understand that. But she knew it was something that was better than what she was drawing out of that well. And he gave her hope. You know, and I can hear her in my mind. I know that she said, "Me? Somebody like me?" Because it was, you know, it was remarkable that him being a rabbi was even talking to her in the daytime.
Right. That's exactly
the disciples
right.
were kind of taken back that he's out there talking to this woman in the daytime. But that's, I think he did a lot of things, like going through Samaria to say to us that sometimes reaching people, loving people, helping people heal is going to take us out of our comfort zone. It's going to take us away from our strict doctrinal beliefs. I think as long as something is in the perimeter of God's word, He'll bless it.
You know, you said some really wise and encouraging things, because when you cut through all of the circumstances, regardless of what your circumstances might have been in mine, it comes down to in a pursuit of the fruit of the Spirit. What do people want out of life? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. These are the things that make a life worth living. And even though your experiences and mine may have been different, the goal's the same.
Yeah.
The goal is trying to live a life that honors the God who did so much for us, who saved our soul, so that we could experience right. love and peace and joy and comfort. You can do a lot of stuff to my body, but my Jesus is going to be there for my soul.
Right.
Wow, what an inspiring and great time to talk with you this morning. Is there anything else that you'd like to add to the conversation that would be a blessing to the people who are listening to the radio audience this morning?
Well, I'd just like to close by saying that we're in a critical time in our state, in our country, even in the world, and we all have to do all we can to make a difference in the lives of people. We have to realize that people are hurting. We have to be like the Good Samaritan. You know, we got to pick them up, get them to where they can get help, and be willing to lead them out of that dark place. There are people in real dark places. And I would like to say, because we're talking about peace, and I think that's something that people sometimes think comes with a lot of money. We see movie stars, people with lots and lots of money, on drugs, committing suicide, which suggests to me that they're looking for peace and love in all the wrong places. And then we see somebody who's humble, somebody, you know, as I do overseas ministry, I see these people in Haiti who have so much less than us, but but they look like they're happier than we are because they have a sense of peace. And I think peace, you know, he said, I'll give you peace. It flows like a river. And I think that when you have that, it is nice to have stuff, you know, but you can't let stuff have you.
No.
And you can't substitute that for peace.
Well, you know, peace, I've heard peace described as the absence of conflict. And maybe for the world, that's what it is. Nobody's beating on me. Nobody's hurting me. I guess I have peace. But in Christ, peace is so much more.
Right.
Peace is not just the absence of violence. Peace is a strong fulfilling. It fills me up. It gives me strength. It gives me confidence to do life and to be able to encounter life and to be able to conquer the challenges of life. Things you spoke to us this morning are just awesome. You've helped me.
Well,
I'm certainly better because we spent time together. Thank you.
I appreciate it. It's been a blessing to have this conversation with you.
And thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Voices here on Grace Radio. And we want to hear from you. If you have comments about this programming today or comments about the station itself, we'd love to hear from you. You can call us at 985-250-1037. You can leave a comment or you can even text us at that number. We'd encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio of Slidell, where you can also leave a comment and keep up what's going on in the station. Or you can check in with our website, www.graceradioofslidell.net, where you can make tax-deductible donations to continue bringing programming like this and some of the other programs on a regular basis to you. And again, you can call us, 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now, Slidell. Join us again for Voices of Slidell daily at 10 and 3 p.m. and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.